with the lessons on spiritual warfare.
Last week we talked about rulers in dark places and the different organizational structure of the demonic. And we needed to lay that groundwork before we could get into things like binding and loosing. Now this morning we read in Luke an account where Christ talks about overcoming the strong man. And there's an awful lot in those verses. We won't be able to cover all of that today, but we'll take on parts of it. So let's start now with Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. "And I say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed on heaven, will be loosed in heaven." Jesus repeats this idea of binding and loosing in Matthew 18:18, a couple chapters behind here, or further back. "Assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." And if we go back to Matthew 12:29, we're going to see this concept again. "Or how can one enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods, unless he first binds the strong man, and then he will plunder his house?" You see, when we talked about these rulers in dark places, these spiritual strongholds, and a chain of command across the demonic, these demonic entities, these rulers, when we're to combat and engage in spiritual warfare, we're to bind them. Now that sounds, straightforward from a thought of grabbing some rope and wrapping it around somebody that's physical. But when we're talking about a spiritual demonic entity, you're not going to be able to just go to your hardware store and grab some quarter rope and tie them up. So how are we to bind something that's not physical? What guidance is there? I mean, if we're to come in and commit ourselves to spiritual warfare and battle against the dark forces that are out there, how are we supposed to do it? Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Second Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. "For though we walk in flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." So there's some sort of a spiritual weaponry at our disposal. Now we talked about the blood of Christ and how the blood of Christ is essential for us to really have meaning behind the armor. We don't have our own righteousness. Jesus Christ has righteousness. His blood's what covers us. And we went through that. The blood of Jesus Christ is essential to this. But there are still weapons. And when we look through our armory of what we had the weapons of prayer and we had the weapons of the sword. So if we're to
or of the word, which is the sword. So if we're to be attacking these spiritual strongholds,
we need to look to those weapons of war. But when we talk about binding, we also kind of get a pairing with it with what's called loosing. So to have an understanding of one, we've got to kind of talk about both of them together. So let's take a look in Psalms chapter 2, verse 1. Psalms chapter 2, verse 1. Why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsels together against the Lord and say his against his anointed, saying, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens shall laugh, and the Lord shall hold them in derision. Then he shall speak to them in his wrath and distress them in his deep pleasure. Yet I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. So we have this idea here that binding and loosing even is something that the demonic are trying to do. They're trying to break their bonds. They're trying to loose themselves from their bonds. They're trying to cut the cords. However, what are these cords? What are these binds that they're trying to cut? And how are we to bind and loose here on earth and in heaven? If Satan is going to mimic God, if Satan's going to impersonate God, would he also impersonate this aspect and bind and loose Christians? Is there a spiritual binding that we can be under? Is there a spiritual loosening about us that's possible upon us? All of these questions come up when we start thinking of these, this idea of binding and loosing from a spiritual standpoint. Turn with me to Psalms 129. Psalm 129, verse 4. Let's first focus on binding and loosing from our standpoint with as a weapon of our own to use against evil. So Psalms 129:4. The Lord is righteous, and he has cut in pieces the cords of the wicked. Let all those who hate Zion be put to shame and turned back. Okay. A way to think of this is like gas lines. So you have your gas company that sends out main gas lines out. And those gas lines have distribution points, but then get spread out to smaller and smaller lines, eventually make it to your house. At your house, you have a burner running. It's got a flame burning. Now, if we think of this as spiritual power coming from the demonic side, let's think of this as a demonic gas line. And we're dealing with a spirit on the end that's burning with some power coming from that gas line. It's got a flame burning. We could blow out that flame, but we still have gas coming in. And all we need is another spark, and now the flame may even be worse. So in order really to address that fire, to combat that fire, we need to start cutting off the source of the gas. That's the concept of loosening. That's the cutting of cords. It's kind of like you cutting off the gas supply to that demonic entity. Now, that cutting off, severing that gas line is one way to stop their power. Another is to go to the gas company itself and shut the gas off there. That's binding.
When you go to the strong man and you tie the strong man up such that he cannot produce the gas to send out through the gas line, allows you to address the fire. Similarly, you can cut the gas line with loosing. It's kind of a physical way to see these ideas of binding and loosening from a spiritual weaponry front. So how do we cut these cords of power? And how do we bind these spirits, these strong men? Well, what I'll try to do here is walk you through two particular types of spirits. Now, we talked earlier about Babylon, also known as Jezebel, the great harlot, and mystery. We're also going to talk some about Leviathan. Now, I chose those two because they have vastly different ways of ruling their spiritual empires. We'll start with Babylon. Revelations 17, verse 4 through 6. Revelation 17, verses 4 through 6. So just to get a reminder here, who are we talking about when we're talking about Babylon? The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a golden cup full of abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. And on her forehead a name was written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. I saw the woman drunk with the blood of saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement. So let's talk first about Babylon. God, over and over in the Bible, uses historic events to reflect spiritual events. He uses physical things to reflect spiritual things. Similarly, we have a history with a physical Babylon, but yet we continue to talk in the Bible about Babylon because of the spiritual Babylon. So there is a similarity here between how God dealt with the physical Babylon for how he deals with the spiritual Babylon. So let's turn to Isaiah chapter 47. Verse 1. Isaiah chapter 47, verse 1.
Come down and set in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon. Set on the ground without a throne, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for you shall no more be called tender and delicate. Take the millstones and the grindmill, remove your veil, take off the skirt, uncover the thigh, pass through the rivers, your nakedness shall be uncovered. Yes, your shame will be seen. I will take vengeance, and I will not arbitrate with a man. As for our Redeemer, the Lord of hosts is his name, the Holy One of Israel. Set in silence and go into darkness, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for you shall no longer be called the Lady of Kingdoms. I was angry with my people. I have profaned my inheritance and given them into your hand. You showed them no mercy. On the elderly you laid your yoke very heavily, and you said, I shall be a lady forever, so that you did not take these things to heart, nor remember the latter end of them. Therefore, hear this now, you who are given to pleasures, who dwell secretly, who say in the heart, I am, and there is no one else beside me. I shall not set as a widow, nor shall I know the loss of children. These two things shall come to you in a moment, in one day, the loss of children and women and widowhood. They shall come upon you in your fullness because of the multitude of your sorceries, for the great abundance of your enchantments. For you have trusted in your wickedness. You have said, no one sees me. Your wisdom and your knowledge have warped you. And you said in your heart, I am, and there is no one else besides me. Therefore, evil shall shall come upon you. You shall not know from where it arises, and trouble shall fall upon you. You will not be able to put it off, and the desolation shall come upon you suddenly, which you shall not know. Stand now with your enchantments and the multitude of your sorceries, and in which you have labored from your youth. Perhaps you will be able to profit. Perhaps you will prevail. You are wearied in the multitude of your counsels. Let now the astrologers, the stargazers, and the monthly prognosticators stand up and save you from what shall come upon you. Behold, you shall be a stubble. The fire shall burn them. They shall not deliver themselves from the power of the flame. It shall not be a coal to be warmed by, nor a fire to set before. Thus shall they be to you with whom you have labored. Your merchants from your youth, they shall wander each one to his own quarter. No one shall save you.
And here we have God's decree of judgment upon Babylon. And there is a lot in this verse. And just to hit some key points of it, we get this image of this virgin lady who's put herself up in this fortress, a palace of grandeur, and she surrounded herself for protection, thinking herself to be unassailable, thinking herself to be pure, beautiful, irresistible. We see pictures of her vanity and how God addresses that. She's the great harlot. And God starts out rebuking her as such. Remove your veil, take off the skirt, uncover the thigh, pass through the rivers, your nakedness shall be uncovered. Yes, your shame will be seen. I will take vengeance, and I will not arbitrate with a man. We have some strong scriptures here. These are sharp swords of the word. We talked about discernment between spirits. When you come across and recognize the presence of a Jezebel spirit, Isaiah 47 would be one of your primary tools, one of your primary weapons to use. Turn with me to Jeremiah 50. I said physical Babylon is a reflection of spiritual Babylon. Jeremiah 50, verse 38. Physical Babylon, when it was sieged, two major things happened to allow that to occur. Babylon had a mighty gate, and it also had a very strong wall around it, with the exception of where the river passed, because the river passed through. Jeremiah 50:38. A drought is against her waters, and they will be dried up. For it is the land of carved images, and they are insane with their idols. Therefore the wild desert beasts shall dwell there with the jackals, and the ostriches shall dwell in it. It shall be inhabited no more forever, nor shall it be dwelt in from generation to generation. As God overthrows Sodom and Gomorrah and their neighbors, says the Lord, so no one shall reside there, nor son of man dwell in it. To loose the powers of Babylon, we dry up her waters. Water was her power base. That's where she got her power from. We dry up her waters to bring the land into dissolution.
Isaiah 45, 1 and 2. Faster than I am. The second part of the downfall for physical Babylon wasn't just the river, because when the river dried up, it allowed the troops to come in underneath the wall. But also the gate was destroyed. 45, 1 and 2. Thus says the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have held, to subdue nations before him and to loose the armor of kings, to open before him the double doors so that the gate will not be shut. I will go before you and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of bronze and cut the
bars of iron. Again, to loose, cut the power of spiritual Babylon. We dry up her waters. We break open her gates. You see, the great harlot, Jezebel, Babylon, that spirit fortifies herself. Just like ancient Babylon. She uses her minions to go out. Her sorcerers. Several times over in Isaiah, we read about her people. Her minions, her sorcerers, her astrologists, all of these people that do her work for her while she sets back in this empire, in this castle, in this fortification. So to bind the strong man and to loose any power from the strong man of Babylon, we need to remind her, God destroys her gates. They are open. The waters that provide her power are dried up. Her vanity is worth nothing. She is naked before God. And if you go to Revelation, you'll see the account of how she's cast down and her nakedness revealed there again. This is one type of strong man. This is a strong man that works through others while defending herself. We could go into the history of Jezebel, the history of the Babylonian Empire, and see more things there that help us understand how to recognize that spirit. Jezebel was so vain, she took to infant sacrifices to maintain her beauty. They've uncovered jars of children that were killed for her beauty. When we start to see children suffering, we see evidence of the presence of a Jezebel spirit. Let's turn now to another one. Turn with me to Job chapter 41. Oh, we're kind of running short on time, so I'm going to try and get it, keep us moving here. So we have one type, the type of spiritual strong man that sets back within a castle, sends minions to do their work. We have another type, Leviathan. Almost the complete extreme difference from Jezebel. Where Jezebel sets back, Leviathan goes through. He rampages. He destroys. He throws his weight around.
Job 41, verse 1. Can you draw out Leviathan with a hook? Or snare his tongue with a line with your lower? Can you put a reed through his nose or pierce his jaw with a hook? Will he make many supplications to you? Will he speak softly to you? Will he make a covenant with you? Will you take him as a servant forever? Will you play with him as with a bird? Or will you leash him for your maidens? Will your companions make a banquet of him? Will they apportion him among the merchants? Can you fill his skin with harpoons or his head with fishing spears? Lay your hand on him. Remember the battle. Never do it again. Indeed, any hope of overcoming him is false. Shall one not be overwhelmed at the sight of him? No one is so fierce he should dare stir him up. Who then is able to stand against me? Who has preceded me that I should pay him? Everything under heaven is mine. I will not conceal his limbs, his mighty power or graceful proportions. Who can remove his outer coat? Who can approach him with a double bridle? Who can open the doors of his face with his terrible teeth all around? His rows of scales, all his pride shut up tightly as with a seal. One is near another. One is so near another that no air can come between them. They are joined one to another. They stick together, cannot be parted. His sneezing flashes forth light, and his eyes are like the eyelids of mourning. Out of his mouth go burning light. Sparks of fire shoot out. Smoke goes out of his nostrils as from a boiling pot, and burning rushes. His breath kindles coals, and a flame goes out of his mouth. Strength dwells in his neck, and sorrow dances before him. The folds of his flesh are joined together. They are firm on him and cannot be moved. His heart is hard as stone, even as hard as the lower millstone. Then he raises himself up. The mighty are afraid. Because of his crashings, they are beside themselves. Though the sword reaches them, it cannot avail, nor does spear, dart, or javelin. He regards iron as straw and bronze as rotten wood. The arrows cannot make him flee. Sling stones become like stubble to him. Darts are regarded as straw. He laughs at the threats of javelins. His undersides are sharp potsherds. He spreads pointed marks in the mire. He makes the deep boil like a pot. He makes the sea like a pot of ointment. He leaves a shining wake behind him. One would think the deep had white hair. On the earth there is nothing like him which is made without fear. He beholds every high thing. He is king over all children of pride. See, Leviathan isn't just this movie character. Isn't just this fancy word for a big ship. There's a spiritual Leviathan, a large, monstrous spiritual Leviathan creature that rampages through his opponents. Unlike Jezebel, who fortifies herself, Leviathan goes out to destroy and wreak havoc. If we were to look for discernment of when are we seeing the power base of Leviathan at work, he's the king of pride. And when you're dealing with the demonic and they don't think anything can touch them, Leviathan's likely providing them power. Isaiah 27. I'm going to keep my finger here for just a second where we just were. But Isaiah 27. Verse 1. In that day, the Lord, with his severe sword, great and strong, will punish Leviathan, the fleeing serpent, Leviathan, the twisted serpent, and he will slay the reptile that is in the sea.
You see, Job gives us questions at the beginning. Can you draw
out Leviathan with a hook? Or snare his tongue with a line which you lower? Can you put a reed through his nose or pierce his jaw with a hook?
If you notice, all of those are lowercase. And to be clear, you cannot stand against Leviathan. That is the message of Job 41. If you try and take him on, you will lose. However, if we go partway through 41, we see a transition. No one is so fierce that he would dare stir him up. Who then is able to stand against me? And you see capitalized letters there. That's the Lord saying, yeah, he's big, he's bad, he can take you, but nobody can stand against me. And that's why when we go to 27, Isaiah 27 and 1, we get, in that day the Lord with his severe sword, great and strong, will punish Leviathan the fleeing serpent, Leviathan the twisted serpent, and he will slay the reptile that is in the sea. There's a difference here on how we need to attack Leviathan. We aren't able to wield a weapon against Leviathan ourselves, but the Lord will. Psalms 74. Verse 13. Psalm 74, verse 13. You divided the sea by your strength. You broke the heads of the sea serpents in the waters. You broke the heads of Leviathan in pieces and gave him as food to the people inhabiting the wilderness. You broke open the fountain and the flood. You dried up mighty rivers. Who can snare Leviathan? Who can beat down Leviathan? The Lord. The Lord can beat down Leviathan. He punishes Leviathan with a severe sword, and he crushes his head and distributes his spoils to everyone else to feed upon. Zechariah 4:6.
This one always hides from me. There it is. My tab is not so bold. Zechariah 4, verse 6. So he answered and said to me, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts."
See, our might, our power won't work against Leviathan. We need God to step in. So binding and loosing of Leviathan, we need God to step in.
Matthew 18, verse 18. Assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them.
If you want to bring God into this picture to cast down and punish Leviathan, to beat his head into the ground, get two or three of you together in unity, pray for it. And Jesus says he will go to the Father.
It will be done for them by my Father in heaven.
Now these are two very large spiritual strongmen. Two completely different ways of dealing with them. Before we can get into how to deal with a particular spirit or a minion within an individual, we've got to understand this power base behind them. Otherwise, we're just blowing out that flame, and the gas is still flowing, waiting for another spark.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we ask the Holy Spirit grant us an understanding as we think on your word. Heavenly Father, grant us the boldness to stand, Lord, to stand in the gap for others. Heavenly Father, grant us the discernment to recognize the strong men involved. Heavenly Father, grant us the wisdom to seek unity with our brothers and sisters as we pray. Heavenly Father, as we go out and we act upon your word and exercise our faith, Lord, use your Holy Spirit to talk to us, to strengthen us, to guide us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for humbling us. We ask that you keep us away from any prideful thoughts ourselves. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.